kidding around, you know. I grew up on listening to Don Rickles. Anybody know, you know, I've mentioned him before. Man, he was the king of the cut downs, and I just, it's in my personality to do that. So if I cut you down, it means I like you. I love you. Amen. I'm an equal opportunity offender. So, I just offend everybody, but I love you. Praise God. I just love people. I absolutely do love people. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody loves people. There are times that I just want to lock the doors and close the curtains and turn off the phone and don't want to see no one. Just kind of go off the grid. You ever go off the grid? Can you go off the grid? Shut your phone down for a day and see if you can go off the grid. Hey, man, some of y'all couldn't survive if you did that. By nightfall, you'd have DTs, you know. I've got to see my Facebook. Got to see if I got some likes here. Does somebody like me? Hey, man. I'm just saying. But God can help us. God can help us. I want to help you this morning. I want God to help you this morning. And I know he will if you'll listen to me real closely, because this is something we all have to deal with, and it's all of us are in this same battle. Battle of the mind. And so this, I just want you to really get this morning, okay? And I'm not going to tarry long, but please be back tonight. I'm going to exposit some scripture, and we're going to have a great time tonight, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm not cherry picking these scriptures. I want you to know that, but they have a bigger context to them. Yet, in the bigger context, it still has a principle, and this is what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, you see, we all walk in the flesh. See, if you don't take that in context, you say, man, the Bible tells me I can walk in the flesh. Praise God. Party hardy. Saturday night, I can walk in the flesh. No, it means that you physically are physical flesh and blood people. We absolutely walk in a material fleshly world. But we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, look at this, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Boy, that is so important. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I want to show you one other scripture. Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope for the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Your mind is a valued trophy. Your mind is a literal battlefield every day. Now, if you say you don't have any battles going on in your mind, well, that just tells me that you're either brain dead or you're just a bald-faced liar. I don't know what a bald-faced liar is. You're just lying, okay? Because everybody has a battle. And everybody has a brain. Well, it's a fierce battle. It's constantly being fought. And believe it or not, you have a lot to do with the victory or the defeat. Somebody says, I'm just defeated all the time, Pastor. Well, you have a lot to do with it. You really do. It's not so much that God just takes over your mind when you get saved, but he gives you the necessary weapons to warfare and to fight the good fight of faith and to live in a spiritual warfare, because we are in a spiritual warfare. And the spiritual warfare will either make you or break you. So I want you to know the weapons that God has given us, you need to utilize those weapons. And as you utilize, when I say that, you know, I say, get the Word of God in your brain. Get the Word of God in your mind. I don't mean just come to church. I mean, literally, spend some time in some study. Not just some devotional reading, but some study. You say, but I'm not a pastor. Doesn't matter. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ought to all be dividing the word of truth. We ought to all be in the word of God and exegeting scripture and building up our minds. Because it's in your mind that you'll make it or you break it. It's in your mind that you'll either win or lose. As a matter of fact, that's why Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. What is the loins of your mind? Well, the loins are the reproductive capacity or capability of reproduction, if that makes any sense. It's what it gives you the ability to reproduce. God told Abraham, said, out of your loins will come a great nation. So when God says to gird up the loins of your mind, he is saying that you need to gird up the reproductive ability of your mind, because you'll start thinking on things and things will get bigger and bigger, and you can grow evil thoughts and they can get so big. You got to, as they say, you got to nip it in the bud. Somebody used to say that. Nip it. Amen. In the bud. Get it before it gets started. Crush it while it's small. What's the first step of any cult or godless religion or even national politics? Now, I'm not going to get political this morning. I mean, they want to get your mind. I'm talking about like communism, socialism. Those are political mindsets, their ideologies, they're the way people, and it doesn't matter what you show them, doesn't matter what you tell them, it doesn't matter the proof that you show them. It's atheism is the same way. You can show them all the evidence in the world, but their minds have been programmed to believe this. And even though down in their heart they may feel like, you know, I know that's not quite wrong, I'm still going to believe what I believe because that's what I believe and I've always believed it, and they've been mind washed. You remember back many years ago, some of you can't remember back because you weren't there, but 1978, I believe it was. I'll never forget watching the nightly news with 900 bloated bodies and the guy in a sun. And that was the beginning of people opening up their eyes to the cults and how dangerous they are. And it became a national obsession, and they made a movie of it. And yet I remember that I thought, you know, how could people be this dumb? And I wasn't even saved at the time. How could they be this dumb? And it's not so much they were dumb, because some of them were doctors and lawyers, and some of them were policemen and all kinds of people in had education. They had lots of education. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But it's not a matter of education. It is a matter of mind control. It is a matter that whosoever controls your mind controls you. Whoever controls your brain controls you. And I want to say this, God wants your mind. God wants your mind. And you know what? We have built a lot of our Pentecostal heritage on emotions, and I'm for emotion. I like to get emotional. You know I do. But that's not going to work. I mean, that's not, if that's all you got, that you hadn't got much. Matter of fact, you're like the guy, or you're like the seed that was sowed and didn't find much root. And the sun came out and just absolutely destroyed it with the powers of its UV rays. But I want you to understand, when you get grounded in the Word and you get down deep in the Word, and your theology begins to grow, and as it begins to grow, guess what? You begin to grow, and you'll be stronger than you've ever been. Why do people fall by the wayside? It's because they do not let God control their mind, and they do not give it to God. Amen. They come to church. They go through the motions. They listen to the Sunday school teachers. They listen to the preacher. They listen. You know, they've been listening since they were in children's church, in youth program. All of this, but until you dig down for yourself and say, I'm going to dig down on the Word of God, and that's when God starts controlling your mind. So when you build your theology, you know, I talk a lot about theology because that's what my degree is in. And theology is simply your study of God. When you understand God, all of a sudden when the storms come and the rains descend, I want you to understand. He said you will stand when everybody else goes by the wayside. Why? Because everybody else is built on the sand. Sand is on philosophy. Sand is on ideology. Sand, you're building it upon just what you think and what you feel. But to build it on the rock is to build it on the Word. And that doesn't just mean that you believe it's the Word of God. It's not so much this book. I'm talking about the physical pages of this book, the white
pages with black letters. I'm talking about you understand the message of the book, and the message of the book begins to resonate to you. It will change your mind. He said that every day we ought to come to God, and we ought to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then he tells us, be not conformed unto this world. Be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You don't renew your mind watching Oprah. You do not renew your mind watching Dr. Feelgood, okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't watch those things. I'm just saying that's not going to build your mind in the things of God. But when you get down into the Word of God, you've got something to hold on to. You've got something that's real. You have reality and truth in everything. It is God's Word. And the Bible said every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is the Word of God. So you ought to build your theology, build your foundation. Floods are coming. Gird up the loins of your mind. That's why the human mind is so critical. It's so important. Night I got saved, I didn't have any emotion whatsoever. I've told you that before. I never cried a tear. I didn't know you cried tears. I didn't know. It didn't emotionally stir me, not one little bit. And yet I've seen people come down here and just literally when they get up, they got to swim out of the tears. They've cried so much. And I believe in that. I cry probably more than you all. Paul would say, kind of an emotional guy. I can watch a movie and cry. Watched a movie with my girls one night. There's a mama that makes me cry. Maybe it makes me cry too. I don't build my theology on my emotion, how I'm feeling today. If I feel good, then I am good. No, I am good because my life has been built on the Word of God, and my brain is stuck in the Word. And so if you get it in the Word, then He'll change you. See what I'm saying? You'll get changed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to be transformed? Right here is in the Word. In the Word. Not some doctor... slick-haired, shiny-shoed TV preacher tells you, I'm preaching the Word today. And be sure to send me most of your money, and God's going to bless you. Amen. Because I need another house. I need another Bentley. Running low on Rolex watches. I need another one, okay? So send your money in and God's going to bless you. Come on, man. Get your mind renewed in this Word. That ain't the Word of God. Okay, I'm getting off track here, but anyhow. You are what you think. You are what you think. That's what they say, and it is true. Bible said, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I know there's a lot of implication to that, but really, as you think in your heart, that's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so your heart, what comes out of it, what you think on, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I thank God a miracle took place when I was in high school. I didn't become a girl, but anyhow. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay, anyhow. Just saying, you'll get that after a while when you start to eat dinner, okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, the thought is the father of the deed. I don't know, I think I got a slide on that. Y'all gonna have to follow me because this is a little more complicated today, guys. We there? Well, we'll get there. A thought is the weather outside is frightful. Oh, okay. Follow me now. The thought is the father of the deed. To sow a thought is to reap a deed. To sow a deed is to reap a habit. To sow a habit is to reap a character. And to sow a character is to reap a destiny. A destiny. Many of you, you know, you've heard my testimony. You know how God saved me. And, you know, it was instantaneous. And it was that, you know, in a moment, I had a Damascus Road experience. And I absolutely just
revolutionize my world. But really, when you really technically look at it, that's not completely the truth, because I look back and I see times when God was dealing with me. I just didn't know God was dealing with me. And he started putting things in my mind, and I started thinking about those things. See, myself, it begins with your mind. You got to start thinking. What the prodigal son do when he was in the hog pen? The Bible said he came to himself. He came to his mind. His mind came back. And all of a sudden he remembered. You got to come to yourself sometimes. And that's what God does. He starts putting things in life, and all of a sudden there was a process that God used the thinking of my mind to start working on me. And every day, I want you to know, I started thinking about it, and then I get in situations and I see things, and all I'm saying is it didn't just happen. The salvation happened instantaneous, but the conversion was a process of thinking. That's why you got to preach the gospel to every living creature, as these young folks are trying to do. They've got to give them the Word of God so they can get the thinking right. You can't think right without the Word of God. You'll think everything's wrong that's right, and everything's right that's wrong if you don't have the standard of the Word of God. That's why we've got such a problem in our nation today, is because we've thrown this book out. We've got written this book. We don't want to put it in the prison. We don't want to put it in the schoolhouse. And lots of folks don't even have it in their house. But let me tell you something. If you get the Word of God in you and let the Word of God grow in you, it will change you, but it begins with your mind. Your mind. Don't mind me. Listen to me. Satan wants your mind. And every day he makes a play for it. Every day he makes he tries to capture your mind. Evil imagination, not just evil imagination, but vain imaginations too. Things that really don't matter to anything. They don't matter to a hill of beans. But yet, you know, we spend all of our time thinking on these things. Thinking on them. That's why Paul said, if you really want to think on things that are godly, good report, yada, yada, yada. And if you look at every one of those virtues, guess what? Every one of them could be personified in Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, he whose mind is stayed on thee is in perfect peace. And you want to be in perfect peace? Your life's a little bit stormy right now. Well, get your mind set on Jesus. When Peter walked on the water, it was okay as long as he had his mind stayed on Jesus. But the minute he took his eyes off, he took his mind off. And when he took his mind off, he began to sink. And if you'll take your eyes off Jesus, you'll take your mind off Jesus, and you will not be in perfect peace. That's not to say that you got your mind on Jesus, you're not going to have some problems. Man, I got problems. I got problems. Pardon my English. Who ain't got some problems? Look beside you. Look at the guy next or the girl next. You got problems. They're sitting right beside you. I'm kidding. Just trying to get you awake. Every day the devil tries to make a play for your mind through relationships, through situations, through the television, through education, through advertisement, through billboards. I mean, they're just trying to control your mind. First, they capture your mind. After the devil captures your mind, then he begins to control your mind. And after he controls your mind, then he corrupts your mind. That's where people are today. Amen. We've all seen individuals that we thought, man, you know what? I never thought they would do that. I've known some upstanding, real, godly people that I had a lot of faith in, that I knew they were godly people, and today they're out of church. I know one preacher in particular. There's a strong man of God, strong preacher. He used to go to camp meeting, listen to him. He used to go down to Brother Clendenin's and listen to this man of God. He so stirred my life. And yet today he's divorced from his wife. He doesn't go around anybody. He's backslid. Never would have dreamed it. Never would have thought it. Why? How? Simply. Deception. Deception. The devil was working on his mind. I'd never thought it'd be like that, but he is now. Why? Because, again, the thought is the father of the deed. Sow a thought, you reap a deed. You sow a deed, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. And some people are locked into their destiny because they can't get their minds changed. They got to have a revival, a move of God in their hearts, and nothing's beyond the impossibility. You don't get me wrong, but I'm saying there's some that'll never come back. Amen. So, let's look at Satan's devices real quickly. First, he binds the mind of the unsaved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world, little g, I want you to notice that for all of you. I learned that many years ago. I had a little confusion with this scripture, but it's a little g. It's not the big G. In whom the God, the devil of this world, the God of this world's a devil. That's who they worship. That's who they worship. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know what changed my life? When the image of God was shined unto me, when I saw him in the book, when I realized him in faith. Because the Bible says, without the word of God, you can't have any faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I picked it up. I read the word of God. And you know what? I heard the word of God that night. And it shouted back to me that he is the Son of God. And all of a sudden, the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, shined on me, and it changed my mind. Didn't cry, but it changed my mind. Been changed ever since. Ever since. So he binds it. That's Satan's strategy. It's a well laid out plan. A spiritually blinded mind is one that cannot see the truth. It cannot see the facts and the evidence of the Bible. They can't see spiritual truth. They need their eyes open. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot inherit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't see it. Until you're born again, you'll never see it. You're blind, he said. You're blind to the spiritual realities of God. And so, you know what? I want to tell you this. Don't get mad at blind folks, okay? I'm talking about spiritually blind because they're blind. Blind folks can't see. I mean, you can't scold a blind man for being blind. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about spiritually, but I want you to understand they can't have their eyes open through the power of this gospel, but there's nothing else going to open up their minds. When you get on that campus, guess what? Nothing's going to open up their minds. Thank God for the good times. Thank God for the party. I know you're going to throw good parties. Amen. Thank God for all the games and all the time things. And I'm talking to all of us today. This is the only thing that's going to change the minds of the children, to change the minds of the adults and the young people. You've got to get this word of God to open up their eyes. That's why what's so important is that if you've got children in your home, you've got to get their eyes opened. You've got to get their eyes opened. I know they're born with their eyes open. They're not dogs. Amen. Never could figure that out, you know, dogs. A lot of them. Am I thinking right? They're kind of born with eyes closed, aren't they? But I'm talking about physical eyes. You got to get their minds. That's why you put them in the best environment, put them in the best church. If their minds are never open, they'll never be saved. They're not saved. You got to open up their minds. So what do? You pray for them. Pray for blind folks. Blind. The powers of darkness have blinded them. And so by your prayers and intercession, you can open up their minds. Number two, he binds the minds of the unsaved. Number two, he corrupts the minds of the saved. That'd be y'all. Hello. Turn around and look at somebody. He's talking to you. Come on. He's talking to you. He corrupts the minds of the saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, there's a whole lot of implication to that, and I don't have time to really dissect that. That's a whole lesson in itself right there. But don't think just because salvation, you get saved, that you automatically have immunity to Satan's attack.
You see, your mind's a mental fortress. And there are saints all across the world that are filled with anxieties and filled with fears and filled with all kinds of doubt. And some of them sitting right here in this service. Some listening to me that are not in this service, but you're listening to me. And I want you to understand, it's the devil, it's the devil, it's the devil. I fear, lest by any means, that you get get corrupted in your mind. Because what happens is, he'll give you some chilling inner thought doubts, and all of a sudden when they come, guess what? They hide the star of hope when those thoughts come in. Start corrupting you. Impurities, unclean pictures are hung on the walls of the corridors of your mind. Cares and worries wear away the health like sand wears away machinery. Deceptions and false doctrine neutralize and destroy faith. That's why when you've been taught all your life that if you have faith, you'll be healed if you have faith. And then somebody dies and you say, I had faith. And why weren't they healed? Because that's not what the scripture says, okay? I'm telling you, that's not the right doctrine of the Bible. If you don't have the right theology, you'll lose your faith every time. But if you have the right theology, what's the right theology, Pastor? The right theology is God still heals the sick. Yes, he does. It is the will of God to heal everybody in this service, okay? But it might not just be right now. His time is not now. Some people, they have to go home to get healed, all right? Some people, they have to be healed after they die. And I can guarantee everybody ever died in the Lord, they got healed of every ailment they ever had, all right? If they died with cancer, they ain't got cancer no more. If they died with leukemia, they don't have leukemia no more. If they died with any kind of disease, they don't have it anymore. Why? Because God changed them and he healed them. But to think that he's got to heal everybody on the planet today, you're reading into a narrative of a New Testament, and you're thinking just because he did it in Palestine, he did it in the Galilee, he did it in Jerusalem, he's got to do it for me today. No, sir, God doesn't have to do anything for you, because the greatest healing is the healing of your soul. He said, by his stripes we're healed. He's talking about your soul, okay? But if you don't have the right doctrine, you can be corrupted.
I don't believe God anymore. I prayed. That preacher told me if I'd give $1,000 to him, my debt be all wiped out.
You still got it, don't you? God don't work like that. I don't have time to go there, but I'm just telling you. Let's go to the next thing. That's Satan's devices. Let's look at Satan's doors. The perverse mind. Ephesians chapter 4, 23 and 27. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. You can get angry. It's okay. Breathe. Just don't sin when you do it. We won't go there. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. In your mind. Let's look at the doors for a moment. How Satan accesses your mind. To the Christian and to the unbeliever, it's through your thought life. But I'm talking to the Christian mainly right now. Your thought life. You leave the door open. How did the dog get in the house? Kids, how did the dog get in the house? I left the door open. How'd the snake get in? The door was open. How do flies get in? Man, I hate flies. I mean, I literally just hate flies. They are the most... Oh, I pray to God they're not in the millennium. Flies and chiggers, I curse in Jesus' name forever to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And rats. Oh, yeah, rats. No rats in heaven, praise God. But I'm saying, how do these things? They get in because we keep the door open. Satan accesses your brain through an open door. What are you thinking about? Only you can open that door. Now, there's a scripture. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man open up, I'll come in and sup with him and he'll be me. Well, I want you to know, Satan stands at your door and knocks too. And you can open or you can keep it shut.
You say, well, you mean, is Satan a gentleman? He just doesn't barge in? No, he doesn't barge in. It's not because he's not a gentleman, I tell you that. It's just that you're a blood-bought child of God, okay? He has no dominion over you. He has no power over you except the power that you give to him. And so you got to keep the door shut. The old song, I remember back in the, when I got saved, 80s, I don't even know who sung it. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night, shut the door, keep out the devil, shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Apparently, I was the only one who heard that song, I guess. You know the Great Wall of China? I mean, it's massive. I've not seen it in real life, but it's 4,000 miles long. They say you can see it from space, and it's the largest man-made structure that man has ever created. But you know what? Here's the really news about this. I don't know if you knew this or not. It didn't keep the enemy out. Didn't keep the, it should have, could have, would have. But the only reason it didn't is because the Mongolians bribed the gatekeepers. Hello? They bribed the gatekeeper. That's how they got in. Now, if they hadn't been able to open the door, they could have never got in. This 4,000 mile long, they can't get over that wall. Had to go through the door, but they had to have somebody open the door. You wonder why there's so many drugs and so many vices in prison? There's several different ways, but one way is you got some guards in there that give it to them. They get on their side, because in their heart they're just like these folks. They just hadn't been caught yet, and so they're on their side, and they bring it in, they bring it in, they bring it in, and you can go to prison and just stay high. I don't advise you do that. But it's getting in the door. It's coming through the door. Gotta shut the door. Gotta shut the door. Prefers mine. Prefers mine. You see, you can't give place to the devil. Your mind can be a nest for Satan to hatch his hellish ideas. An unconfessed sin can become a stronghold. Listen to me real quick. Unconfessed sin can become a stronghold in your mind. And because what happens is he gets a foothold and then he builds a stronghold, and your attitude or your act begins to be lived out. So that's one door, first mind. Second door, passive mind, Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. You see, someone said an idle mind is a devil's playground. That's not the Bible. Man, that's good. I think out loud, okay? I guess she's ugly, but anyway. Now you're looking at me. A passive mind. Your mind must be aggressive and controlled. What does it mean to keep your heart? It means to keep your mind. It means to guard. It means to control. And if America, and that's where we've gotten, if America is so passive that we just let everything go, we let all those crooks up there in Washington run everything, we're so naive, they're really good people. They're not devils. I mean, I know they sleep with one another and they have little pages and a bunch of them are homosexuals and yada, yada, yada. But, they really have a heart for this country. No, they don't. No, they don't. I'm not saying all of them. Don't get mad at me today, okay? Please don't get mad at me today for politics. But I'm telling you, a politician is a politician. And how do you know when a politician's lying? When his mouth is moving most of the time. That's how you know. But I'm just telling you, what happens is we get so laid back. We get so, until our nation's taken over. And if it isn't taken over from the inside, it can be taken over from the outside. If we used to let down militarily, if we just, let's put all our nukes up, okay? Let's just live in peace, get a Coke and love everybody. Amen. Let's put all our nuclear warfare up. Let's just have a great, peaceful
natural world. Let me tell you something. We might get rid of ours, but they're not going to get rid of theirs. So you know why? Because they don't think like we think, okay? And the best policy for peace is power. Amen. And the best policy for your peace is not let the devil get you in a passive mind. You've got to stay aggressive. You've got to stay sober. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And if you don't stay vigilant, if you just, you know, skip to the loo, my darlings, down the trail, not looking for lions, not paying attention to your surroundings, the devil's going to eat you up for lunch. But thank God, if your mind is on the Word of God, if you've got your foot on the rock and your mind made up, when the devil leaps out to you, you can say, Satan, it is written, get thee behind me. It is written, I have power over you. You've got to get aggressive mind. Satan uses the power of suggestion a lot of times. He doesn't just throw the door open. It starts with a little suggestion. And what happens is, you're the one that allows it. Starts with things like transcendental meditation. See, I never tried that. Some Christians do. And they wonder why they have so much hell in their lives. Starts out with yoga. I don't mean the stretching kind of yoga. But be careful. Be real careful, ladies. Well, I just like to do yoga and just empty my mind. That's the problem. You can't empty your mind. And may I say this? Your source of power, this is what yoga is. You've got this power. You got this. If you really look into it, you need to really look into it here. You got this power. You got to meditate on it. And you can get it up. And you got to clear your mind. No, your power is not coming from within. Your power is coming from without. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. They're mighty through God. They're mighty through God. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty through God to put the devil in his place. They're mighty through God to stand when everybody else has fallen by the wayside. And hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant of the Lord. The only way is if you've got your mind set. So I'm not preaching against your stretching and yoga. I'm just saying, when you really look at yoga, spiritualism is another thing. I'm gonna read my horoscope. Well, first of all, if you believe a horoscope, man, you'd go to Guyana too. Amen. They just print those things. Why don't you? Do you believe the fortune cookie too? You think it's a prophecy of Buddha? Yeah, I would say unto thee, if thou walkest straight today, thou will find some good fortune and thou will have some more friends, saith Buddha. It's not the Word of God. You're opening yourself up, I'm saying. Don't go out and say, man, he's preaching against fortune cookies now. No, I'm not. I read my fortune, it's fun, okay? Just fun. I don't believe in it, but I sure don't read any horoscopes. And I sure don't call 1-900 Deanna Warwitch. I don't know if she still does that or not. Shirley MacLaine. You see, he doesn't just open the door. Do you lock your doors at home tonight or today? Do you go home? Do you lock your doors in the day? Brother Ernie down there in Chicago, I know y'all don't. You see, we live in a different world up here. And, just kidding. I'm sure they do it in Chicago too. I'm sure they do it everywhere. Why? Because you want to keep something out that wants to get in. You lock the door in your home tonight, I guarantee every one of us will. Nobody wants to sleep with the door wide open. So why do we live our lives like that? Why don't you lock the door of your mind? Why don't you just lock it up, man. Oh, but they'll call me narrow-minded. Let them call you narrow-minded. That's what they call Jesus. You're in pretty good company. Amen? They didn't like him neither. Well, I just want to be safe, my friend. Just want to be safe. Let's go on to the next one. I'm running out of time here. This is another polluted mind. Revelation chapter 22 and 15 says, for the without are dogs and sorcerers.
and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, I'll break that down to us when we get there, because we hadn't got there yet in the book of Revelation. But I that's really interesting. But I want you to see this, that absolutely what it's saying. And when he says sorcerers there, sorcerers in the Greek, that's a Greek. It comes from the Greek word where we get our word pharmacy. Okay, a sorcerer is one that deals in drugs that I'm not here. Don't go out there and say, Miss Ernie is a good friend of mine, okay? Ernie's drugs. He may be watching right now. You ought to go down there. He does a great job. Praise God. He got a lot of good things going, but it's not illegal. I'm talking about illegal hallucinogenic drugs. People see demons. People hallucinate. They see demons. And all that saying, and thank God for the good drugs, okay? Is there good drugs? Yeah, there's good drugs. Thank God. Whenever the Samaritan found the guy, he poured in oil and wine. If he had had some alcohol, would have had some Buffering, or maybe had the guy's in a lot of pain, maybe it would have gave him a Valium or something. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as, it's a legal deal. You know what I'm saying? Understand what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I am saying this, that drugs have taken over our nation. And if you don't believe that, just come down to the local jail. Most everybody in there is because of drugs. They're in there because of robbery. You know why they robbed? Because they had to get money so they could get more drugs. That's why they sell their babies. That's why they sell their bodies. That's why they sell anything. They'll sell to you anything. They'll steal anything. They'll kill anybody. They'll shoot down the pizza guy that comes with a pizza just to get a few dollars, to get a few drugs. It controls their mind. Amen. Sorcery, their mind. One who enchants with drugs. See, illegal drugs open up your mind to the spirit world. You ever seen a picture? I'm closing. I really am. You ever see a picture of a witch making spells? Surely on TV, there's not real, but... She got a little pointed hat, got her broom. She rides it. I know some women ride brooms too, but just saying. But she's always stirring the pot, putting a little of this in, putting a little. She's mixing up drugs, spells. Beware. Don't let your mind get polluted. Come back to the instruments. Now then, let me tell you real quickly. I got three more points. Satan can be defeated. Why? Because God has given you every weapon at your disposal. Spiritual weapons. If you're here today and your mind is being controlled, you want to do what you want to do, but you can't do it sometimes. You just want to live for God, but it's just you're struggling. And there's a lot of people like that right now. I just counseled and discipled a young man just Friday. And God's dealing with him. You pray for this young man. And he told me, I said, are you going to church anymore? No, not going to church. Got a family. But I got news for you. He's not far from the kingdom, so pray for him. But you got to recapture your mind. The carnal mind is not sufficient for spiritual battle. So the battle for the mind will never be won through education. And I believe in education. But that's not how you win the battle. You can't win it through psychology. And I understand some people need to see a counselor. I'm not against that. As long as they're a Christian counselor. Don't go to one of them counselors that says, you just need to kill your husband. Amen. Give you all kind. I know one very, what can I say? Someone I love a lot went to a counselor and they told her, all that stuff you were taught all your life in that church, it ain't true. Don't go to somebody like that. Go to somebody that's got the word of God, and it's all right to get godly counsel. It can help you.
And in their counseling, guess what? They interject the word of God. And so it's just not psychology. It is one of my best friends is trying to get his master's degree in psychology right now. He's sending me questions, and I'm giving him answers. And I realize now that I'm fixing to get my degree in psychology because I'm writing all his papers. I hope he's watching. So, but it's Christian counseling. So I just want to put that out there. I want you to understand that. But if you think that positive thinking is going to do, I'm just going to think positive. I'm just going to get myself, I got some problems that Satan's taking over my mind. I'm just going to get myself up by the bootstraps. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Those people hooked on those drugs, they can't just quit. They need their minds changed. So let's look at three weapons real quick. Well, go ahead. That was our scripture, but. For the perverse mind, there's repentance. Ephesians chapter 4, 25, 27. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Repentance. Come back to God. Don't give place to the devil. Give place to God. Draw near to God. God draw near to you. So if you're not saved, guess what? Or even if you're saved and you have a perverse mind, I want you to know you need to repent. Don't think just repentance is just for the unsaved. Don't think just because you're saved, well, I don't never have to repent. Yeah, let me tell you something. Jesus' last word to the church was repent. That was the very last thing he said. In the book of Revelation, when he was speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he said, repent. Repent leads to confession. Confession leads to cleansing. It takes away the place the devil has. Why is it in modern Christianity today they try everything but repentance? Everything but repentance. I found out, man, in my life when I've been overcome, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. For the passive mind, number two, there's resistance. James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. If your mind's passive, get going, man the battle stations. Don't let another day go by that you don't submit to God. You can resist the devil all day long, but first of all, you got to submit yourself to God. See, I'm going to resist him. You're not resisting him if you're walking to the park with him, okay? If you're skipping down the hall with him, you're not resisting him. You can talk all day long. You resist the devil by drawing near to God. You resist the devil by submitting unto God. You resist the devil by drawing in his word. By submission, you gain authority to resist. Little boy said, I can resist everything. Everything but chocolate chip cookies. I'm kind of like that with potato chips. I got to say this because I'm under the anointing. I wish my wife wouldn't buy them. I wish I hadn't said that. I'm weak. I go by there, there's some potato chips. I'm just going to get a few. Of course, a few is all that you really get in a bag nowadays. Somebody say amen. Here's the deal. I promise you, that little boy says, I can resist everything but chocolate chip cookies. If he'll get full, no pun intended, if he'll get full of baloney, get full of something else. That's the only thing I think of at the moment. But how about at Thanksgiving? How many likes Thanksgiving? Oh, yeah. But I promise you, if 1 hour before the Thanksgiving dinner, before the mother brings all the food out, all the turkey dressing, ham, green beans, smoked Anything's good except possum? No. If you were to sit down an hour before that and eat yourself three or four peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, drink a couple glasses of milk, it's not going to be quite as appetizing to you, is it? There's no room. You haven't got any room. So, I mean, you would like to have some more dressing? Oh, I hadn't got any to begin with. I got too much peanut butter and jelly. Okay, yeah, I'll eat this evening. We'll go. I'll be in the second round. Praise God. What am I saying? I'm saying if you'll get full of this Word of God, I'm talking about really get full of the Word of God. There's no room for some of that old sinful pumpkin pie. If you'll get full of the Word of God. That was a metaphor, okay? I love pumpkin pie. It's my favorite. But I want you to know, it can be sinful if you sit and eat the whole thing. I'm saying if you get full of this Word right here, thank God there's no room for sinful things. Get full of God by submission. And the devil will flee from you. One more. For the polluted mind, there's renewal. Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, 23 and 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's how you do it. You renew your mind. You renew your mind in the Word of God. You renew your mind. Your mind has been damaged. It's been distorted. But guess what? It can be made new. How many's ever had a wreck and you just almost wiped your whole car out and you took it to the guy and he's an expert and when you get it back, it looks as good as it ever did. And you say, thank God you renewed my car. Sometimes your paint begins to fade and you get this beautiful red race red paint and through the years it becomes maroon. You can renew it. You can renew it. You can get a new, fresh coat of paint. What am I saying? It doesn't matter where you're at in your mind today. Doesn't matter if you're caught up in anything in your mind. Guess what? You can renew your mind in the Word of God. And I want you to know new thought patterns can begin to be established. And when you begin to establish new thought patterns and you begin to establish biblical thought patterns, your whole life will change. You'll be amazed at what God can do. The problem is we never turn it over to God. God will renew your mind after you repent, resist, and remember you are what you think about. So what you thinking about? God help us. I want to win the battle in my mind, because to lose the battle in the mind is to lose your destiny. It can be. Father, in Jesus' name, God, you are